Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
What should we do about the poor? Good people, as we consider the current situation here in the United States and even abroad, I consider that here in America we are struggling so very much. As we consider the makeup of the United States and the homes even here in the nation of which you and I are a part of, nothing is as it once was. I remember whenever families were close and whenever you knew your neighbors, and in this also, not many years ago, also we could look to the stability of our nation and it looked to be very positive. However, good people, as we consider where we are, we have very many economic concerns. In fact, not only here in the United States, but everywhere throughout the world, people are struggling. As we think in regard to this, we understand that so many people have lost their jobs. The unemployment record is at record highs. Good people, also, when we think in regard to people losing their home, the foreclosures here in the United States are astronomical numbers. Where are we? As we consider the increase in gas prices, this no doubt is very scary. Good people, we are noticing an increase in the cost of travel. The commute back and forth to work also is rising, raising the cost of commodities, goods and services universally. But also in regard to this, we understand that this is causing the gap between the rich and the poor to continue to broaden. There is no more a middle class. You have those who are very wealthy or those who are struggling here in the United States and abroad. But also, we understand that whenever we look at our nation's deficit, as we look in regard to the way in which our government has handled or not handled, misused and abused the funds, good people, they have gotten us into dire straits as a country, and no doubt this has brought forth multiple concerns and questions by each and every one of us. The Bible tells us, though, that no matter what it is that we face, that we need to trust in the Lord our God with all of our heart and not to lean upon our own understanding. In all of this, why? Because God has promised us, according to what Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, that He is with us always. So therefore, no matter what it is that we go through in this life, no matter how dim the picture may look, no matter how hopeless things may seem, God says that He is still sitting on His throne and that our God is constantly there to be with us through these things. Why? Because we are His children in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And because of this, Jesus tells us that we are not to be anxious or to worry about anything. Why? Because God is constantly going to provide for us. He's there and watching out for us, and He's going to make certain that we have everything that we need, not everything that we want, but everything that we need to get us through life and into eternity. And for that reason, He says that you and I need to make certain that we seek forth the kingdom of God and His righteousness, putting Him and the church first, and then God will make certain that everything else comes into place. Good people, we have an obvious reality here when we think in regard to what we're facing here in the United States and elsewhere. Poverty is nothing new. It has always been around. In fact, as you look into the Old Testament Scriptures, you understand that there were those who were poor amongst the Gentiles, those who were not God's people. And in fact, God had commissioned or commanded His children that they were to look out for the poor, not only amongst their own, but amongst the Gentiles. They were commanded by God to leave the corners of their field whenever they had harvested. Why? For those who were poor. But not only amongst the Gentile was there poverty. Also, Israel dealt with famine and misfortune in and amongst themselves. Good people, in all of this, we understand that amongst the children of Israel, there were individuals who were so poor that they could not bring a lamb as an offering. And for that reason, our God made a provision for those who were poor. In fact, I contend this morning, I truly believe that Jesus' family was likely amongst those who were poor in and amongst God's people. Why do I state that? Because each year as they offered, as these people brought forth an offering unto our God, they brought a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And this was indeed the provisions that God had made for those who were poor, who could not offer the lamb as an atonement for their sin. Poverty is nothing new. It's something that we have seen and dealt with pretty much since the time of civilization. And good people, the Bible tells us that it's going to continue to be a problem. Why do we have poor people? There are some attitudes that say that they deserve to be poor, but they deserve to struggle. Why? A lot of people are very quick to point out the Bible passage as Paul wrote to the saints in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, which exclaims that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And for that reason, some people say, well, if they're not willing to work, if they're not going to get out and to earn their keep by the sweat of their brow, then let them be poor. They deserve to be that way. But also, there's that attitude amongst some who say, well, they're uneducated. They either didn't finish school, or if they finished school, they didn't go on to a higher education, and we live in an educated world today. And for that reason, then, if they want to fit in, if they want to earn their keep, if they want to be a part of the modern society, let them go back to school, is an attitude. And some people even look at them in disgust or disdain and to say they're nasty, especially whenever we deal with people out on the streets. You know, those that we classify to be homeless, they look at them and they say, in utter disgust. I can't even imagine these type of individuals being amongst me. They want to put them aside. And the Bible tells us that you and I are not to look upon the appearance of people as to judge them by what they look like, but rather that we are to look as God looks at them as a soul and to ask ourselves, what is it that they may need in life? Not to judge them in an unrighteous manner, but also sometimes there's that attitude that says they consider them to be second-class citizens. The same was going on in the book of James chapter 2, verses 1 and following amongst the church where they were esteeming very highly those individuals who were well-to-do in society, that whenever they came in amongst the church, that they would actually scoot over and make room and say, you sit right here beside me. But if a poor person came over, they would kind of spread out and say, hey, that nasty person from the streets come in, they kind of smell a little bit, or they're not wearing that suit, or they don't have on that tie, and let's just spread out amongst ourselves so that they won't sit here with us. They'll go up and sit with brother or sister so-and-so that we really don't like either. In that, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must not have that type of an attitude that looks at the poor and says that they deserve to be poor, or that they're uneducated, or to look at them in disdain, or that they're nasty, or that they're second-class citizens, but to realize that these people are indeed a soul. What are some biblical reasons as to why poor exist? Good people, first and foremost, we can understand that our God is not responsible for people being poor or for people struggling in any way. In fact, in the book of James chapter 1 verse 13, James says, by the way of inspiration, let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempt any man. But every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, or brings forth a destruction or a separation from our God. What role does God play? We learn from the Apostle Paul's message to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God will not allow us to be tempted above that in which we're able to bear, but with the temptation He will always supply a way of escape. You understand, as is taught in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17, that every good and perfect gift is given from God. And therefore, whenever people face adversity in their life, whenever people are struggling, whenever people do not have food on the table, that's not a God-given, but rather that is provided, it's initiated by Satan, and maybe even the effects of the individuals themselves or some other things. In this, culture and environment sometimes will play a very devastating part in regard to where people will be in society. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 15 says that a rich man's wealth is his strong city, but he says the destruction of the poor is his poverty. Why do some people struggle and others not? It's because of where they are in the world. It's because of the setting. Maybe they're in a third-class country, a third-class world country. And in this, they're struggling. Why? Because the economic situation in that country is not up to the level of where we are here in the United States. And what's going to be produced in those type of situations, culture, or environment? Poor, poverty. These people can really and truly not do anything about it. Why? Because it's the part of the world of which they reside in. It's where they are in life. But also, in this sometimes, people are poor. Poverty exists because of oppression or because of fraud. In this, we learn from the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 31, he who oppresses the poor approaches his maker. There are indeed people who in the past have oppressed or who have fraudulently taken from the poor, who have not only mistreated them, looked at them in a way that they should not look, but they've treated them wrongly by taking, by tricking, by taking in a fraudulent or an illegal manner from them what they should not have. They should have looked out upon these individuals and recognized that indeed they were suffering and that they didn't need someone to come in and to do them wrong, but rather to do them right. And God tells us that if we oppress the poor, if we are acting in a fraudulent manner to those individuals, if we're stealing from them, He says that we will indeed stand before our Maker and give an account of the things that we have done in this life. Others are poor because they are lazy and also because of neglect. We learn from the book of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He says, a lazy or a slack hand becomes poor. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, he says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15, he says, laziness casts one into deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Why are some people poor? Good people, some people are poor and live in a state of poverty because they are lazy. They are in a society that does have jobs, and even in this economic time of depression that we are in, there are jobs to be had. It may not be the type of jobs that we may want, but there are jobs certainly after to be had, even if we had to explore being an entrepreneur to come up with things to do. There is money to be made even in this society, but yet at the same time there are so many people who are lazy, they don't want to sweat. They don't want to work. And for that reason, they are in hunger. They are in want. But also from a biblical standpoint, we realize is that sometimes people are poor because of misfortune and even because of persecution. Consider Job. Job lost all that he had. Why? It wasn't because of anything that Job had done wrong. It wasn't even because of the environment that he was in. It was because Satan came, and Satan was out to tempt to draw Job away from God. And as a result of that, Job lost everything. But yet understand that Job maintained his integrity. He did not turn away from God. But rather, good people, did he question God? Most certainly he did. But yet at the same time, he allowed his struggles to strengthen him to get him through the difficult times. And as a result of that, we understand that the Lord blessed Job twofold, more than what he had in the end. And God will still work the same way with you and me today. We need to realize that during the times of which we might struggle in life, that God is constantly there. And no matter what type of persecution we go through, and no matter what bearing that might have upon our financial ability here in this world, God says, remain faithful to me. And God says that certainly we will indeed have everything that is essential as we go throughout the course of our life here. How does God feel about those who are poor? Good people, the Bible tells us that our God loves everyone. In fact, we learn from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27 that God created mankind after His image. And good people, in creating us after His image, that tells us that we are indeed special to God. If you read on in Genesis chapter 2, we realize that God had created an oasis for Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, and He placed them there in the Garden of Eden and provided for them. He gave them everything that they needed, and He gave them also one instruction, one do not. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, do not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. God wanted so much a relationship with these people, but yet we realize that the temptation of the flesh, their personal wants and desires won out. Why do I state that? Genesis chapter 3 tells us that Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Evidently, Adam was right there beside her. She hands it to him. He partakes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what has resulted as a result of all that? Sin. Sin made its entrance into the world. And good people, in that, not only did Adam and Eve sin, you and I sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. But our God loves us so much that He had an eternal plan to redeem us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting love. Have everlasting life. Who does God love? God loves every soul. Does He love the rich? Yes, He loves the rich. Now, the rich oftentimes do not respect God, but yet at the same time, God loves them and He wants their soul. Does God love those who would be classified as middle class? Most certainly He loves them. He wants their soul in like figure. Well, how does God feel about the poor? God loves their soul. You see where we're going at here? It's the soul of the individual, not their status in life, not how much money they have or don't have in the bank account that matters unto God. What matters to God is the soul. And how does God feel about those who are poor? Good people, we understand that God provides for the poor. He says in Isaiah 41 and verse 17, the poor and the needy, He said, they seek after water and God provides for them. In Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4, we understand that God has given power unto the poor. He gives them strength. He says, you have been a strength to the poor. Isaiah says that concerning God. He says, whenever those who were poor amongst the children of Israel were struggling, He says, whenever these people didn't know where their loaf of bread was going to come from, He says, God, you were there for them to provide what? Not only to provide for their needs, those things essential for sustaining their life here, but He says, God, you were there to provide strength unto them, to build them up. And good people, understand also, God is there to protect the poor. Note what He says there in Psalms 140 and verse 12. I will arise and set the poor in safety. God wants so much to be there for those who are less fortunate in this life. And God actually says to us that He loves these individuals. And He wants you and me to love them in the same manner of what He does. You see, as Christians, God commands us to remember the poor. Not just to get caught up in our life, not to just focus upon our family and upon the things that's going on around and about us, but He says you need to be conscious. You need to make certain that you're looking always to those who are around and about you and to identify if there are true needs that are there. In all of this, God commands you and me to always be looking to see if there are poor people amongst us in the church, but not only in the church, outside of the body of Christ, and then ask, what can we do for them? We need to respect the poor. Good people, we do not need to be like those spoken of there in the book of James chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 8, who respected the rich above the poor, but rather we need to respect the poor. And to realize that within these people, God has placed a soul that will stand before Him in judgment, and unless that soul, every soul turns to Him, that will be lost eternally. And God says that whenever poor people even come in amongst us, not just the rich or the middle class, But whenever poor people come in, and they're not dressed in fine linen or clothing, if they don't look like they drove in a Cadillac, or we own a Chrysler 300 now, a Chrysler 300, if they drive in a clunker, as we would say it, they have a soul. And God says whenever they enter into the assembly, we need to see that soul and to respect that poor person for the soul that God has placed within them. And then we need to do all that we can to teach the poor. That's what our Lord did during the course of His life here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus looked out upon the poor people. Good people, the Bible tells us that He had compassion time and time again. As Jesus saw those who were struggling, captured His heart. It pricked His heart. And from the heart, then He did all that He could to help their physical needs. Why? Because He knew that if He could get to them from a physical standpoint, if He could assist them according to the needs that they had at that given time, then He could get to them possibly with the need that they had for salvation through the shedding of His blood as the Savior of the world. Then we need to do all that we can to help the poor. That's what Jesus said He did. We need to look to the needs of others, and as we identify the needs that people have, then we need to do all that we can. All that we have been given the ability to do to help those who are there. And then we need to bid the poor. We need to welcome them. We need to invite them to go out into the highways and to the byways. It's interesting whenever you think in regard to Israel and the Gentiles, God says that the Jews had been invited into the marriage feast, but yet at the same time, they did not come, and therefore, God's people were told to go out into the highways and the byways, and to invite who? To invite all. Now, I know in the context of speaking about the Gentiles, but in that, you and I need not be respecter of people whenever we invite people unto the assembly. We need to reach out to every soul that we possibly can for the sake of those people and for the sake of whenever they will stand before our God in judgment. We need to bid, we need to welcome, we need to invite poor people into our assembly. And church, I think you're doing a good job of that, reaching out in multiple ways. But I think that we can always do better, amen? Do better in every way that we can to help the needs, and especially the spiritual needs of those who are outside of the body of Christ. We are truly blessed here in America. Even though that we're struggling from an economic standpoint, we are still far better blessed than most other countries in many ways. In all of this, though, as Christians, we are even more blessed in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following. All spiritual blessings are given in Christ. As Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, he spoke to these people concerning the blessings that they had. And good people, he's not speaking about the physical blessings, but rather the spiritual blessings they had. And he identifies that those blessings were in Christ. And you and I, as Christians, are blessed far and above what others here in the world are blessed. And God has given us opportunities. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, He says, "As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith." God has given us, and God gives us, and God will give us opportunities. How often does God give us opportunities to identify when somebody has a need? Good people, y'all need to sit down for this. You are. Every day. That was a little funny there, okay? Need to sit down for this? You are. Okay. Every single... You got to keep it light sometimes, right? Every single day, God gives us opportunity. And what do we do with those opportunities? We're like A.T. Robertson said concerning opportunities. Is that opportunities like that statue of a woman that is there, and it's there, and we walk right on by it, and by the time we're by it, then we recognize, oh, wait a second, that was an opportunity for me to do something. And God says that we need to seize the moment. God says that we need to identify whenever that time is there. Why? Because whenever the time goes, then good people, we will not have the opportunity any longer. Will we have another opportunity in another situation? Yes, we will. But we need to take advantage of the opportunities that God lays before us in everything, but also whenever it comes to helping those who are less fortunate than what we are. not only does God give us opportunity, He also says that we are under obligation. He says that those who have this world's goods, if we do not help those who do not have this world's goods, whenever we stand before Him in judgment, good people, we're going to have to give an account of the way in which we have abused and misused and not used the things that He has put at our care, the blessings that He's laid before us. And these things, God says, that we need to practice pure religion. I like what James says in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 27. In fact, I like all of what God says. But note what He says in James chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, pure religion is this, and undefiled before God, is that you visit the widows and orphans in their time of need. Pure religion. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been a member of the Lord's church, if you've not practiced pure religion. Amen? What is pure religion in the sight of God? He says that you visit the widows and the orphans in their time of need. Somebody says, Kevin, I try to do that. Sister so-and-so, she's shut in over there on such and such a street, and we try to go by and visit her at least once a month. Or brother so-and-so, we know that he lost his dear wife, and for that reason, from time to time, we will pay him a visit. And in fact, we write letters from time to time to those who are in orphan homes, or you know, we'll stop by. We just went through Jeffersonville, Indiana on Friday, going to Indiana for my aunt's funeral. And Dawn and I passed a place called Child Place, of which we used to go from time to time and visit them, and even to send money from time to time, and around Christmas times, buy some gifts for the kids who were there. That was a blessing to be able to do that. So could we say that we used to visit the orphans? Yeah. But note what he says in regard to that word visit from the Greek language. Visit doesn't mean that we stop in and say, hey, it's been a long time since we've seen you. We want you to know that we love you. If we can ever do anything for you, let us know and we walk out. Visit means, if we can ever do anything for you, what can we do for you? What are your needs? We love you. We want to know if there's anything at all we can do for you. If you need your yard mowed, we'll be here to mow it. If you need some food, we're going to help to supply that food. And then not only do we find out what the needs are, then we do what we can to fulfill those needs. As James chapter 2, verses 14 and following says, faith without works is dead. If we see a brother or sister naked or destitute of daily food, and we say, go be ye warmed and filled, and do nothing to supply the need, good people, we have a dead faith. A faith that is not pleasing and acceptable to God. A faith that will be lost in the day of judgment. And God says that we need to make certain that we practice, not only preach, but that we practice true, pure religion. And in this, God says that whenever we do, then He promises us an eternal reward. Good people, I don't want to just claim to be a Christian. I hope and pray that I live according to New Testament Christianity. Why? Because just to claim to be something is not good enough. I want to go to heaven. And I know that you do. I trust that with all of my heart. That you do. And I see you working on a continual basis each day. And you're doing a lot of the things that I preached about this morning. To that I say, amen. But let's do more and more. Let's keep on trying to build the kingdom. Let's keep on reaching out in multiple ways that we can from a biblical standpoint to show these people that we truly love them and that we want to bid them. We want to invite them into the kingdom of God through Christ and demonstrate the love of God in every way that we possibly can. And whenever they see God's love and light shining through us, then they will understand, I believe, in a very clearer way, in a more personal manner, as to who our God is and what our God wants and has in store for them. Today, as we close, as we extend the Lord's invitation, I want to ask you a question. Are you poor? Not from a financial standpoint, not from a physical realm, but are you poor in spirit? That's a question that Jesus, or a statement that Jesus posed in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Let's turn over there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who is the poor in spirit? The poor in spirit there are those who realize. They wake up and it hits them and they say, "I am nothing without God. Without God, no matter what I become in the world, I'm nothing. Without God, no matter how well I'm doing from a financial standpoint, I'm nothing. No matter how good of health I am in, if I do not have God, I am nothing. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit, or theirs is the kingdom of heaven." God says whenever we come to realize that without Him we are nothing and that with Him we are everything that He wants us to be, then He says that we are well on our way unto an eternal life in heaven with Him. What does God require of those individuals who come to that realization that they are nothing without Him? In all of that, they need to accept the Lord's invitation to become a New Testament Christian. Well, what does the Lord require us to do in order to become a New Testament Christian? Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, Jesus realized as He states this, that He is the way unto the Father. In fact, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He states this. He says, "I am the way," not ways, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through Me." If we want salvation, we've got to come through Jesus. And how do we come through Jesus to get to the Father? By confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, by submitting ourselves then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, wherein that our sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 6, and we are added to the body of Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and we become a child of God, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, to live our lives in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. If you are not a New Testament Christian, and you're poor in spirit this morning, you realize that you need God, we bid you, we invite you with His invitation.